For the Medical Journal of Australia, I'm Kate Swanell. If there can be a silver lining to a global pandemic such as COVID-19, then perhaps the emergence into the mainstream of telehealth is it. Rural and regional Australians with cancer have been disadvantaged when it comes to access to clinical trials, but now teletrials are being developed and evaluated across the country. Associate Professor Ian Collins, a medical oncologist in Warrnambool and part of the Victorian Comprehensive Cancer Centre, is lead author on an MJA paper which explores the implementation of teletrials and what benefits they can bring to rural and regional Australians. Ian is my special guest today. Let's talk about what the difference between having cancer in a big city and having it out in the regions. What are the barriers and what are the disadvantages for rural folk?
We've always known that patients in regional areas do worse from a cancer point of view than the equivalent patients in metro areas. And that's not just Australia, but we know that's the same across the world. So in the US and Canada, even in the UK, where the distances aren't the same, there's always some kind of barrier between patients outside the big cities and patients inside the big cities. And the exact reason for that is hard to pin down. It's probably a lot of little things. So things like patients in general have a lower socioeconomic status in regional areas. They might have higher smoking rates. They might be less likely to present to their doctor, so they present with cancer a bit later. But also, they don't have the same access to clinical trials. And we know that clinical trials is a surrogate marker, if you like, for how well someone's going to do from a cancer point of view.
Okay.
We know patients who go on a clinical trial do a little bit better, even if they get the same treatment, they do a little bit better than patients who don't go on trials.
That's interesting. Is that like a placebo effect?
So the difference, I guess, between clinical care and clinical trials is that clinical care is the day-to-day activities that we normally do. Clinical trials is the day-to-day activities with a little bit more attention to dotting the I's and crossing the T's, if you like.
So right.
There's a little bit more oversight, a little bit more making sure everything is done just so. We've always thought that places that have access to clinical trials, so the bigger centres, for example, that do clinical trials, have a slightly better care, probably because we're doing clinical trials, so therefore we become more used to dotting the I's and crossing the T's.
Mm-hmm.
So overall, patients do a little bit better because the clinical trial is there, or because of that extra care involved in it,
right,
even if they're not on the trial. Historically, the clinical trials have always been offered to the bigger centres, so the bigger places in Melbourne or Sydney or wherever the local city is, because that's where there's a bigger volume of people to do trials and a bigger volume of patients. And as a result, patients in regional areas don't get offered the trials, or if they do, they might have to travel up to the city to get their clinical trial.
Mm. Do we know what proportion of trial participants are from rural and remote areas?
So we have, and in the paper we referenced some data from the Cancer Council of Victoria, who they had a system for many years where they funded trial units based on the number of patients they put on a trial.
Yes.
And as a result, they've collected data over the number of years over how many patients in different areas around Victoria are on the clinical trial and where they're going to that clinical trial. So they found that there was, in 2017, there was 432 clinical trials in Victoria. Of those, about 20%, 27% were in regional or rural areas.
Okay.
But most of those, 5% of all the clinical trial patients, were on a clinical trial in their regional area. So most of those patients who did go on a trial had to travel for that trial. And I guess that's one thing that COVID and the current pandemic has made quite clear, that if we can avoid patients traveling, the differences to their quality of life can be quite significant. So the ability to have treatment closer to home means you don't have to give up work, or your carer doesn't have to give up work to drive you to the city to do your clinical trial activity and then drive home again. And at the moment, it takes even longer because you need to isolate or swab and various other things.
Exactly.
So anything that we could do to reduce that travel time and open up the clinical trials to patients from regional areas should improve care for that patient, but also care for regional patients in general, and therefore hopefully bridge that gap in survival from a cancer point of view.
Well, telehealth has had a real, it's been in use for a long time, but it's had a real awakening of awareness during COVID. How does telehealth work in a trials setting?
So in the same way, so telehealth that we're using every day nowadays since March is analogous to your normal clinical activity. So it's seeing patients, it's checking bloods, it's talking about side effects, those kind of things. Teletrials is, in the same way that the difference between being on a clinical trial is that little bit extra compared to just your usual clinical care, mm-hmm. teletrials is also using telehealth, but with an extra layer of attention to detail mm-hmm. that makes sure that that trial is carried out safely and appropriately. So it's not just the telehealth component. There's other things in the background, mostly what we call the supervision plan, mm-hmm. Which means that everyone knows exactly which I's they're going to dot and which T's they cross.
Yes.
And it's that level of detail that we need with the clinical trial is what makes it safe to do it remotely.
And can people do this in their own home, or do they need to go to a local centre?
So in general, the way we have designed them, or I guess or the way they've evolved to date, is that it's two medical units collaborating. So it might be your metro centre mm-hmm. and your regional centre, or two metro centres or two regional centres. It doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. But it's generally speaking, it's expected to be delivered in a clinical setting, so in a hospital or wherever it might be, mostly because there's almost always clinical activity associated with the trial. So that's examining the patient or measuring the blood pressure. There's almost always extra things that we need to do to a patient mm-hmm. that we couldn't necessarily do at home.
I'm chatting today with Associate Professor Ian Collins from the VCCC about teletrials. Ian's co-author perspective can be found at mja.com.au. If you're enjoying this podcast, why not check out all our other episodes at mja.com.au/podcasts. They're all open access and you can play them there or download them for listening to later. Back to our chat. So tell us about the Victorian Comprehensive Cancer Centre's teletrial supervision plan.
The VCCC, I guess, it's an alliance of 10 partners that are a mixture of research, clinical and academic institutions.
Yeah.
And they, between them, run the vast majority of clinical trials in Victoria and between the different hospitals and academic units. And one of their key programs, I guess, from in terms of developing better cancer care for Victorians has been the teletrials program, which we've been working on for a number of years. And what they, knowing that there was a deficit in cancer care and knowing that clinical trials is one aspect of that we could potentially improve, we set about looking at what are the barriers and how might those barriers be overcome. So we always knew that telehealth was a technical aspect that we could use to facilitate remote clinical trials, but that is only one aspect. And as I said, it's the other bits that people needed reassurance on that the teletrial would be done appropriately. So the supervision plan is one aspect of that essentially it's a document between the trial organizers. So there'd be the central site and the regional or other site. The sponsor of the trial will be involved as well. Mm-hmm. And essentially it sets out exactly who's going to take responsibility for what aspects of the trial, how the documentation is going to be maintained. Will it be all in the regional site, or will it be sent up to the central site for keep storing up there? Things like payments and indemnity and all the background documentation, exactly how all of that is going to work.
Are there any downsides, any concerns at all?
Well, so I guess when we started this process, we spoke to a lot of the stakeholders, the clinicians involved in clinical trials, the CROs who run the trials, and the big pharma who sponsor the trials. And there was lots of those concerns in terms of how we're going to manage the indemnity, what are the legal implications about farming out some of these work to other places, how will we manage to get the drug from hospital A to hospital B. And all of those have been essentially addressed. We've got reassurances that it's actually not a barrier.
Yes.
And that's, I guess, one of the things we've really seen with COVID is that a lot of these perceived barriers to doing things, once the crisis comes, you quickly realize that what was a potential barrier from a legal point of view or from a paperwork point of view, a bureaucracy point of view, that can be very quickly eliminated. And that's what
yes.
we saw with teletrials, is that a lot of the perceived barriers actually weren't so much of a barrier.
Is the technology available in Australia good enough and secure enough to handle teletrials on a regular basis?
Sure. I mean, the as I said, most of these consultations are expected to be between medical centres who already exchange information on a regular basis in a secure manner. One of the concerns with telehealth at the moment is that not all patients have access to iPads or smartphones or the internet even all the time.
But
there are no sites that are providing clinical care from a cancer point of view in Victoria that don't have telehealth capability, which means if a patient is going to their nearest cancer centre, they're going to have that capability to do a teletrial. I guess it's something different, and that we know that medically, and particularly when it comes to IT, medical professions are very slow to uptake new technology or new ways of doing things. It's by definition a safety first kind of profession. Any change is always going to be met with a certain amount of reluctance. We are seeing with telehealth that that reluctance lasted days or weeks for most people when they had to. So the hope is that teletrials will become part of standard of care, that every trial that gets opened in the future will have a teletrial component. We don't expect them all to be teletrials, but having that ability means that a patient from Warrnambool or Wollongong or wherever it might be can go on a clinical trial wherever that trial is open.
What are other states doing? Have you heard from them at all about this?
Some of them, I guess, are a little bit further ahead than others. So telehealth has always been a bigger part of clinical care in Queensland, where the distances have always led to a need for telehealth. So they have been working on this, I guess, for quite some time. And there are now national SOPs or standard operating procedures that were developed in Queensland Health for teletrials specifically that have been modified and adapted by the other states. New South Wales has a number of teletrials open and active as well. And all of the states, I guess, are moving in that direction. One of the big successes of teletrials within the COVID area is we saw a patient who was on a phase one trial for her rare cancer in Tasmania, who was traveling to the Alfred in Melbourne on a regular basis as part of her clinical trial. And as you know, Tasmania was very quick to shut their borders at the time of the initial pandemic. And as a result, she could no longer travel for her clinical trial. So the Alfred Hospital and their clinical trials unit reached out to the DCCC, and between them and working with the sponsor, they were able to convert that trial to a teletrial.
Right.
So the patient was still able to stay on her clinical trial and access the drug, which was shipped to the hospital in Tasmania rather than be given to her when she came to Melbourne.
And hopefully she'll never have to go back.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
We always said our holy grail from a teletrial point of view would be to have a patient in regional Australia on a clinical trial in MD Anderson or some big unit in the US, where the only barrier to that we can see would be the time difference in terms of it'll be 6 o'clock in the morning for somebody having a consultation, but there's no other reason why it couldn't happen.
I think telehealth is one of the silver linings of this COVID thing. Everybody just seems to have gone, oh yeah, we can do that.
It is. It's not quite as good as the real thing.
No.
But it's certainly it's a lot handier and a lot more useful for lots of patients in lots of situations.
Absolutely.
But like any change, we need to be a little bit careful with it. But certainly it's an extra tool that we didn't have previously, or certainly wasn't as acceptable previously. With the teletrials, because it's new, we are doing as much as we can to reassure stakeholders that it's safe and effective and potentially even cheaper than a traditional trial model.
Yeah.
So there's ongoing evaluation. We already have, there's a trial open in Victoria where there's 92 patients in regional Victoria on the trial being run through Peter Mac. And we're using that to evaluate the system or the model to make sure that, number one, that it's effective, number two, that it's safe, and potentially whether there's any cost savings in running it that way.
Thanks a lot, Ian. See you.
Cheers.
Bye. My thanks to my special guest today. Don't forget that all our podcasts are open access and available at www.mja.com.au/podcasts. Or you can subscribe to our feed at iTunes. My name's Kate Swanell, and we'll see you next time.